I trusted his promise that he would make this. That helped me to make decisions to get him to Germany. I knew he wanted to fight. I knew this was the only way to give him what he wanted. But it was very bad. He was very, very sick, and he was nearly dead.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Empathieschenker, dem Podcast für mehr gegenseitiges Verständnis in unserer Gesellschaft. Mein Name ist Sebastian Kremser und ich höre meinen Gästinnen und Gästen zu, um zu verstehen, was sie bewegt. Heute höre ich Angelique zu. Sie erzählt von der schweren Corona-Erkrankung ihres Mannes und wie wichtig es ist, Ärzte kritisch zu hinterfragen und eine zweite Meinung einzuholen. Sie möchte mit ihrem Familienschicksal gehört werden, um Ärzte einzuladen, zu reflektieren und aus ihren Erfahrungen zu lernen. Gleichzeitig fordert sie kranke Menschen auf, um ihr Leben zu kämpfen. Und jetzt viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Ja, hallo und herzlich willkommen, Angelique. Ich freue mich, dass du heute zu Gast bist beim Podcast Empathieschenker. Und wie immer am Anfang meine Frage, womit bist du da? Was ist dein Thema, dein Anliegen, mit dem du gerne gehört werden möchtest und was dich bewegt?
Thank you for having me here. I'm going to start in English. Vielleicht ein bisschen Deutsch, aber I'm here because I really want to tell you about something that happened to my family, something that happened to my husband, my kids. And I really want to share our story to the world so that people can learn from it.
Cool. Oh.
And so it's not going to happen again like it happened to us.
Now I'm very curious, also sehr neugierig, was du mit der Welt teilen möchtest.
Ja, das verstehe ich. In the April of 2021, my husband got sick. He got corona. And he got really sick. He was 46 years old when he got sick. And after a few days, he had to go to the hospital. And a few days later, he had to go to the intensive care. And after 28 days fighting awake, he had to go on the ventilator, Beatmung,
Beatmungsgerät,
in Deutschland. And he was very scared not to wake up again. He was very scared not to get time enough. And he also knew for sure that he would make this if he had enough time.
You mean enough time to recover?
Er hat Angst, dass er nicht genug Zeit bekommt von den Ärzten.
Okay, also ich fasse mal zusammen, was ich verstanden habe. Also wann war das? April 2021? Also vor 2 Jahren. Da hat dein Mann mit 46 Jahren Corona bekommen. Und das war bei ihm sehr schnell ein schwerer Verlauf. Sodass er ins Krankenhaus gekommen ist und nach 21 Tagen Infektion musste er dann an die Beatmung angeschlossen werden. Und bevor die Beatmung losging, hatte er dann sehr viel Angst, dass er nicht mehr aufwacht, wenn er angeschlossen wird. Und gleichzeitig war er sich sicher, wenn er genug Zeit an dem Beatmungsgerät bekommt, von den Ärzten, dass das schaffen wird.
He knew for sure. And he promised me he would never give up. And just before he went to sleep, he promised me he would never give up fighting. He promised me he would wake up. And I promised him that I would do everything it would take to give him enough time. And at that moment, my brother is a trauma doctor, traumatologist.
Traumaarzt. Ist da jetzt Trauma im Sinne von Unfällen oder von in Notaufnahmen und sowas wahrscheinlich?
He has done his study in Germany. A part of his study, the how do you call it, the specialization for the traumatologist.
Facharztausbildung.
He had done this in Emden, Klinikum Emden. So he was there when my husband fell asleep. He promised him that he would look after him. He promised him that he would look after his boys, me. And he promised him that he would do whatever it takes to give him enough time. And at that point, we thought that he would get enough time in the Netherlands. But actually, after 3 days, beatmo, the doctor said further treatment has no use. He needed a heart-lung machine. Do you know what it is?
Herz-lung machine?
Yeah, ECMO therapy, heart-lung. And in Holland, it works like that you don't have the heart-lung machines in every hospital. So you have to go to specialized hospitals to get that treatment. And the persons, no, not the persons, but the hospitals who give that treatment saw his latest CT scan and said, this is not going to work. He's too sick. We are not going to do this. So they gave him up. They gave up on him after 3 days. And my brother, who is a doctor in Germany, called his colleagues. And his it's not his colleagues anymore, but it's the hospital where he got his education. He called them and took all his files, all his scans to Emden. And they, with the whole team, they looked at his files and they said, well, he's we see his problem. He's very sick. We see the COVID in his lungs, but we don't see any reason that he's not going to wake up from this. He's not going to, that he's not going to recover in a way that he has a normal life. So where in Holland, the possibility stopped. Germany said, and the Klinikum Emden said, he can come. And 5 days after he fell asleep, of 6 days after he fell asleep, my brother arranged a helicopter and arranged everything. And my husband was taken to the Klinikum Emden.
So I summarized again what I've heard, okay? So when your brother fell asleep after 3 days, oder? Ich sage es auf Deutsch, damit auch die deutschen Hörer das nochmal übersetzt kriegen. Nach 3 Tagen, nachdem dein Bruder dann ins künstliche Koma zur Beatmung versetzt wurde.
My husband.
Was habe ich gesagt?
Mein Bruder.
Dein Mann, genau. Ja, jetzt habe ich es schon mal. Dein Mann. Haben die niederländischen Ärzte gesagt, bei dem Zustand, wie die Lungen aussehen, hat das keinen Sinn, das weiterzumachen.
Stimmt.
Und wollten ihn dann quasi aufgeben. Und das Besondere ist, dass es nicht die speziellen Beatmungsgeräte, die es für solche Fälle braucht, irgendwie im Krankenhaus gibt, sondern in Spezialkliniken in Holland.
Ja.
Und dann hast du mit deinem Bruder, der in Emden an der Klinik gearbeitet hat, gesprochen. Und gleichzeitig hattet ihr euch ja alle das Versprechen gegeben, dass ihr umeinander kämpft. Ne? Dein Mann dann im künstlichen Koma zu der Beatmung und du und dein Bruder, in dem ihr aufeinander aufpasst und alles in Bewegung setzt. Und dann hat dein Bruder gesagt, gib uns mal die Krankenakte. Und dann haben sich das angeschaut und gesagt, gut, wir sehen den kritischen Zustand. Das heißt aber nicht, dass nach 3-5 Tagen sich das bessern kann. Und dann hat dein Bruder alles organisiert, auch den Hubschrauber-Krankentransport, dass er quasi nach dem 5. Tag von Holland nach Deutschland ins Klinikum Emden verlegt wurde.
Where the Dutch doctors told us that the damage they saw on the scan was probably irreversible. The German doctor said, well, it's too soon to say that it's irreversible. And he's 46 years old. He has 4 children. So he has to get the full program. So he went over there. He was critical ill when he arrived. The helicopter transport was way too much for him, and he nearly died. I was there when he arrived. My father-in-law, my husband's father, was there on the helicopter with him, and my brother and I were by car went to Emden to wait for them there. And when he arrived there, he was almost dead. And our boys were at the airport in Holland to yell at him and to cheer him up and say, go, Papa, you can do this. When he arrived in Emden, they directly put him on the heart-lung machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that went well.
Mm-hmm.
He was still asleep, and they had him on the heart-lung machine. I couldn't get there because he still tested positive for COVID, mm-hmm. so he had to go in isolation.
Mm.
And my brother was the one who was allowed to be with him.
Mm.
So we did a lot of video calling so I could talk to him. Yeah, he was asleep, but I wanted him to hear my voice, to hear the boys' voices. Mm. And after 2 weeks with a lot of complications, his third test was negative, so we had to go from the isolation to the regular intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could visit him after 2 weeks.
Mm.
And that was the first time that I saw him.
How was that feeling for you?
When I saw him.
Yeah, when you saw him or during this journey.
Yeah, it was, I was very scared. I had a lot of faith, but I was very scared.
Mm.
And it's constantly with I trusted his
promise.
I trusted his promise that he would make this. And that helped me to make decisions to get him to Germany. I knew he wanted to fight. I knew this was the only way to give him what he wanted.
Mm.
And but it was very bad. He was very, very sick, and he was nearly dead. And also when he, the first 2 weeks, he got sepsis, how do you call it?
Yeah, the Vergiftung.
Yeah. And it was every time that you think, phew, is he going to make this? Is it going to work? And every time you think it's going a little bit better, whoop, that he went down again. And he got sicker, sicker, sicker. Mm. And every time you thought, oh, now this is the sickest he can get, he still got sicker.
Mm.
So it was very hard. It was very hard to be at home with the boys and not able to sit by his bed, not able to hold his hand, talk to him. Very thankful that my brother was able to, that he did everything he could to go there, to be there, to let me talk to him through his phone.
Mm.
Yeah. And after 2 weeks, I could go myself. Yeah.
Mm. And how was that for you?
Und
wie war das für dich? Genau.
Yeah, das war schwer.
Mm.
It was very nice to be there with him. It was the moment that he opened his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They woke him up, not completely awake, but to check his brain function.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw us, but I didn't see him for 2 weeks, and his body was
thin.
He lost a lot of kilos, and he was. All his muscles, all his the facial muscles also.
Degenerate.
He was very scared. So it was very hard to see him like that.
Mm.
But it also very nice to know that I could be there again.
Mm.
And I went there for 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. It was a 250 kilometer drive.
Each way.
Yeah, wow. 500 kilometers, yeah. So
every day.
I went 4 times a week,
Yeah.
Just to sit by his bed while he was sleeping most of the time. But I knew when he was there, that when he was there with this team in Emden, I knew they were fighting for him.
Mm.
I knew he got time. I knew they knew what they were doing. I really trusted their
so many,
that they, yeah, the good doctors.
Yeah, the medical team.
Yeah, they told me we're not wonder doctors. We know what we do, but we're not wonder doctors. Mm. I think they are, but yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it also made that I could breathe again when he was there. I felt that I didn't have to fight for time. Yeah. I knew he was well taken care of. I knew he was very sick, but I also had faith that they would know, they knew what they were doing. Mm.
So yeah. When you were sitting there, you noticed you are over the edge, right? Somehow. Mm-hmm. Du wusstest, als du dann da saßt und der wieder jetzt aufgewacht ist oder aufgeweckt wurde, dass ihr so über den Berg seid, quasi.
Ja,
ne?
Ja.
Das war dann quasi eine Erleichterung, sodass du wieder auch mal Luft holen konntest und nicht immer in dieser Anspannung warst, vermutlich, oder?
Ja, ja. Ja, das stimmt. Aber er auch danach wird er noch kranker. Das war immer
hoch, runter, hoch, runter.
Ups and downs, ja. 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 He has had several lung infections. Mm. Everything you can think of, he had.
Mm. Yeah.
But every time they said he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be okay, and I trusted that, and they were right.
Mm.
They were right. It was a long road. He has been there for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on the heart lung machine for 35 days.
Mm-hmm.
And after the heart-lung machine, the beatmung war noch 3 Wochen, glaube ich, mm-hmm. danach noch.
Mm-hmm.
Also nach 7 Wochen, mm-hmm. die Beatmung war raus.
Die Beatmung war, dass er dann quasi Schläuche mit Sauerstoffzufuhr noch hatte.
Ja, ja. Ja, die Heart-Lung-Maschine ist er hat Heart-Lung-Maschine und Beatmung.
Mm-hmm.
Ja. Die Heart-Lung-Maschine, die Beatmung war nicht genug.
Okay.
War nicht genug. Und darum, that's why they in Holland they said the heart lung machine, yeah, he needs that, but we don't think it's gonna work.
Okay.
And in Emden they said he can come here and we think it's gonna work. Yeah. We don't see any reason that it's not gonna work.
Yeah.
He gets a chance and we not guaranteed, but he gets a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ich bin neugierig, weil ich habe die ganze Zeit eine Frage, die ich gerne stellen würde.
Mhm.
Hat dein Mann das mitbekommen oder gespürt, wenn du zu ihm gesprochen hast oder dass da Menschen sind, die also ihr Versprechen einhalten und um ihn kämpfen? Konnte der das irgendwie wahrnehmen in diesem Schlafzustand?
Nein, nicht bewusst,
logisch.
Nein, nicht bewusst. Nein, aber er weiß. I told him things when he was asleep that he knew.
Oh, okay.
He knew. I told my sister was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I told him that while he was asleep,
uh-huh.
and when he woke up, he knew.
Oh.
So he wasn't conscious. He doesn't have active memories, but he knew that he was in Germany. He knew that he couldn't talk. He knew that he couldn't move. That it was okay. Uh-huh. He knew because I told him that every day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, when he was asleep.
So das Unterbewusstsein hat etwas davon aufgenommen.
Yeah, and also when I had a lot of videos from the boys, and when he heard their voices, you could see his heart rate or his blood pressure. You could see that his reaction, but he doesn't know it.
Ja. Also der Körper hat darauf reagiert quasi.
Ja, sicher. Ja. Ja. Ja, und wann er, when he got off the Beatmung, he could go to Holland again.
Mm-hmm.
He was ready on the intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took him to Holland.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard for me, not for him, because he didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
He didn't know why he was in Germany. He knew that my brother had promised that
he would care.
He knew that. He knew that my brother was there when he fell asleep, and he knew that he would take him to Germany if it was necessary. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know how sick he had been, and I really lost a lot of faith in the Dutch healthcare system when this happened. So it was very hard to bring him to Holland again.
Yeah.
What if he got sick? What
to,
if he
to trust the medical service there?
Yeah. That was very hard. Mm. But we had to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was already there. Mm. So we said goodbye, and he got by ambulance to a Dutch hospital, mm-hmm. and he was there for 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. He needed a lot of oxygen, mm-hmm. And when that was lower, he could go to Rea, mm-hmm. in Holland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Same job.
Yeah. And there he was for another 3 months.
Wow.
So he, but he learned how to walk again. And his lungs are damaged. Mm-hmm. He knew that. And they're not going to be very much better than they are now. Mm-hmm. His lung capacity is around 45%. Mm-hmm. So his lungs are really damaged, but he's very, very happy to be alive, mm-hmm. and very, very thankful that he got a chance to fight.
Mm. Und ich vermute auch, seine Söhne aufwachsen sehen, zu sehen und Zeit mit dir zu haben, ne?
Ja, das was his biggest drive, mm. to go home and to be a dad, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's what he's doing now. He got sick in April 2021, and he got home in November 2021. So it was a very long journey, and he's still in Rea. Mm-hmm. He goes several times a week to physical therapy, mm-hmm. but he's mentally he's doing very good. Yeah. He's very happy. Yeah.
Also mental war das ja auch eine Höchstleistung, ne, da durchzukommen, auch wenn er jetzt geschlafen hat, aber da und auch für euch als Familie, nicht?
Ja, 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 dass wir das geschafft haben miteinander, und ja, das ist something to be very proud of, mm. as a family, ja. Mm. Yeah. Every time I had to go to Germany 4 times a week, I was 4 days a week. I was gone, and our family took care of the boys, mm. made sure that everything went on.
Ist ja auch schon so ein Ding, ne? Also viermal die Woche 500 Kilometer zu fahren, das würde man in normalen Umständen würde man sagen, oh, das ist ja total anstrengend. Bist du? Da habe ich keine Lust zu. Und dann, ne, in so einer Notsituation, was man dann für Kräfte und Energien und Ressourcen mobilisieren kann.
Ja. Das stimmt. Das ist, I didn't have to think about that.
There was no question.
I was very, very glad that I could be with him. Yeah. So I went 4 times a week. And because I had the boys, I couldn't go.
Yeah.
And it was 8 weeks. 2 weeks I couldn't come, but 6 weeks I also had to be here with the boys.
Mm. Mm.
But that's when I think back, think 2,000 kilometers in a week. Mm. Yeah, it was a long road. Yeah, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
And it made us realize, and it made my husband realize that. The chance that he got is a chance that many other people didn't get because they didn't have a brother-in-law who is a doctor in Germany, because they directly believe what doctors tell them. Yeah, I would also do that if I didn't have my brother, but it made us realize that this is something where people can learn from, and that it's very important for people to always ask questions, critical questions, always ask for a second opinion, always think about what's possible, and also for doctors, at least the doctors in Holland, to realize that you don't have all the knowledge, and it's okay to get that from even another country, but they did something that in Holland was impossible.
Mm. Wenn ich dir zuhöre, dann kommen bei mir so zwei Learnings raus. Einmal so dieses Aufgeben ist keine Option, ne?
Yeah.
Und es lohnt sich um das Leben zu kämpfen.
Ja. Yeah. Yeah.
sicher. Dass eure Erfahrung, euer Erleben für dich und eure Familie auch irgendwie so eine Rieseninspiration war, irgendwie. Weißt du, wie ich das meine?
Ja, das, ich verstehe das. Das ist auch ein, it's not, look, if you're too sick, or if you're too sick, giving up is an option. But in this case, where you have your own idea that you're really gonna make it and you wanna fight and you wanna take every chance you got, and you don't get the chance. Yeah. I think that is why we didn't give up. Because it's not that my brother, they didn't treat him because he was my brother's brother-in-law. They treated him because they thought he had a chance.
Ja, weil sie dran geglaubt haben, ja.
Ja, ja.
Also dann ist es so, dass wenn du selber in dir spürst, dass du es schaffen kannst, dann, und andere meinen oder Ärzte dann meinen, na, das wird nichts mehr, dass wenn du es in dir spürst, ist die Message quasi, glaub an dich, ne, und kämpf für dich.
Ja, ja, ja. Ja. Yeah. Yeah, and I tried to talk to the doctors that treated him here in Holland. Yeah. It took me a while because I had a lot of sadness, also anger, that I thought, why did you give up on him? Why didn't you fight like with us?
Or you asked the doctors?
I wanted to. I tried to. I thought a long time about how I could do that, because if I knew that I talked to a doctor. Mm-hmm. And the doctor that I spoke to said, "Oh no, I felt that they were not going to learn from this. Everything I said, it was different. It was, I didn't say that. So at last I wrote a long letter, and I tried with that letter to thank them for everything they did, because they had also played a part in the fact that my husband came home. I thanked them for that part of his journey, but I also invited them to reflect on things that I think they knew could have been different, that they could have done different. They left me alone with this choice to make. I had to make the choice on the telephone in the moment, while the doctors in Germany said something different, and they didn't want to communicate with the doctors in Germany. So that there were things that could have been better. And I asked them and invited them to talk to me about that, and not about regulations or about
judging or blaming them.
I knew that they've done a lot of good, but there are also things that can be better.
For dich.
Well, the fact that he's alive, there are things that can be better, and they didn't respond to that. They didn't want to. That's when I realized, okay, how I'm going to do that. And the post you saw on LinkedIn was the post where I asked all the people I knew, my husband know, our family know, to share our story. So our story can get to those who do want to change this, and the doctors somewhere in our country that might think, hey, let's evaluate this, or look what can see what can be different.
Was dich da bewegt und dir wichtig ist, aus diesem Erlebnis, dass daraus gelernt wird und auch die Ärzte daraus lernen, und du möchtest die Menschen, die in ähnliche Situationen kommen, inspirieren oder anregen zu sagen, hinterfrag das und quasi seht her, dass man kann es auch schaffen, auch wenn manche meinen, das gibt keine Aussicht mehr, und andere sagen, wir glauben, da gibt es noch Chancen, dann versuch das, ne, und go for it.
And follow your own feeling about that. My husband was so convinced that he was going to make this. And I trusted that.
Und da war dann auch der Wille, dass er das will.
Sicher. He could have died 10 times, but he didn't. No. So that's the
That's somehow interesting, you know why? the last episode I record, there was a guy, also da war ein Mann, der hat von zwei Situationen in seinem Leben erzählt, wo er auch hätte sterben können. Und er sagte, dass in seinem Koma dreimal der Sensemann, also der Tod, zu ihm kam und ihn quasi gefragt hat, ob er hier mitkommen will. Und er dann mit ihm diskutiert hat, warum er noch nicht gehen kann.
Schön, ja. Now my husband doesn't have any, he said it was very dark. That's the only thing he remembers, but he doesn't have any, no, but I knew his drive was, was so strong to be with us and to be with his boys. Yeah. So yeah, he made this. Yeah. He made this. Yeah. Ja, und ich habe I wrote a book.
Oh, wow.
I wrote a book, and the goal of that book is not to sell the book, but it's to share a story. After the letter I wrote to the hospital, I thought, how can I make sure that this story doesn't disappear? Mm. How can I make sure that this story gets somewhere where it's where it can change things? So I wrote the book about
Story, you wrote it über euer Erlebnis, nicht?
And the goal of the book is to share the story.
To inspire the people to go for your life, right? Right?
Yeah, and to inspire doctors to reflect, to evaluate, to search for knowledge, and to share the knowledge.
Also dass sie beim nächsten Mal in so einer Situation wissen. Und dass sie nicht denken müssen, es hat keine Aussicht mehr, sondern dass sie wissen, es kann auch gut gehen und da gibt es noch Chancen.
People deserve to feel hope. Also from the doctors. And if there's no hope left, then it's early enough to talk about it then. But until then, there can be hope.
Das ist der Unterschied, den du meinst, wenn man jetzt zum Beispiel eine schwere Erkrankung hat, wo man definitiv weiß, dass es nicht mehr besser wird, dann ist was anderes. Aber
das was
bei anderes. Corona wusste man das alles noch nicht, ne, so genau. Und dass man dann seinem Gefühl folgt und sagt, ich glaube, ich schaffe das und ich kämpfe für mein Leben.
Hat er gemacht und hat es geschafft.
Ja. Dann höre ich stolz.
Ganz. Das nicht normal, was er geschafft hat. Das ist, very proud. But also very proud of my brother, my boys, and of families. How we did this.
Ich vermute, dass euch das als Familie auch noch mal näher gebracht hat und so zusammengeschweißt hat, ne?
Sicher. The relationships were already good, but now with this, we did this with the whole family. Everybody had their part and their responsibility and everybody took it and stood there and
a big bound,
something to be very thankful thankful for.
Sounds like a gift which came across also across with this.
Das ist
wow. Und wie geht's dir heute jetzt mit der Situation?
Mir?
Genau. Und ich habe gehört, dein Mann ist ja jetzt noch in Reha und arbeitet sich auch wieder zurück, ne, in sein.
Ja, er ist zu Hause. He goes to Reha a few times a week, so he's at home. And es geht mir gut. Yeah, I'm very proud to when I posted this on LinkedIn and when I saw how the people we knew, everybody shared this. I had over 260,000 views, I believe.
Wow. Yeah, 260,000. Wow.
Yeah, it's enormous, and that was the goal. And the book is going to come somewhere end of February, from the beginning of March.
In Dutch or English?
In Dutch. I think it has to be translated and it has to be published in German.
Because of this connection.
The heroes are there.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah, how nice it is to read a good story about what doctors have achieved for someone in this very heavy, period. Yeah, in the pandemic. So that's the goal in the future. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the connections in Germany, but I think it would be nice. It's a good story, and it's something the people there in the clinic in Emden achieved, and all the credits to them. Yeah, but it's going to be in Holland at the end of the month. Cool. I hope. Yeah. And also for all the people that went into the coma and don't know what happened there. It's an insight in a road that many people went through alone, and many families didn't see it from up close. Yeah. So I hope it's helpful for a lot of people.
When die so eine Erfahrung machen, dass sie wissen, sie sind nicht alleine, weil andere haben das auch gemacht. Und sie einfach sehen auch, wie es, sie können dann schauen, wie es ihnen geht und auch zu sehen, dass anderen auch so ging in solchen Situationen, so wahrscheinlich. Ne?
Ja. Und auch, wie das war. Yeah, they were asleep, so they didn't. The families couldn't be with them, and I had the opportunity in 2021, I could sit by his bed. Yeah. So the story also describes how it is on the intensive care, the difference between Holland and Germany. Yeah. So it may be helpful for people who do not have many memories. Yeah. Of about the period or the families who couldn't be beside the bed.
No, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. Indem du die Geschichte nochmal aufschreibst und erzählst, kann dein Mann auch nochmal hören, was passiert ist und war, was er, weil er geschlafen hat, ja nicht mitbekommen hat. Ne? Und das ist dann für ihn vielleicht auch heilsam, ne? Das nochmal zu lesen oder zu hören, was er, Anführungsstriche, verpasst hat. Ne? Also, verstehe.
Sicher. Ja. You hope you do everything good for the children. You hope you make the right decisions. You hope you don't want to let them see too much, but you can't. It was such a long road. They had to see him. They had to go to the intensive care. They have the images of that part of the way, and you hope as a mother that you make the right decisions at those times.
To care for your husband and for your children.
Yeah. But they are okay. Cool. Yeah, they are more than okay. Yeah. They also learned what's possible if you don't give up.
And how valuable life is.
And they also learned how important family is.
Yeah. Wow, tough time. And also, lots of gifts, right, came up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we are 40 minutes are over. And I just wanted to invite you, maybe, what is to have the last sentence. What is the core inspiration or Sing, also was ist das, was ist für dich so die Essenz, die du gerne abschließend teilen möchtest?
Oh, that's hard to put it in one sentence. I think that our story tells, at least told us to fight for the things that are important for you and to unconditionally believe in the ones you love and in the things they believe in. Fight. Don't let go. I think that's the most important.
Thank you very much for your openness and trust and sharing of your experience. Inspiration for the listeners.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's nice to share it.
Das war Episode 42. Never give up. Wenn dir der Podcast gefällt, dann folge und bewerte ihn und teile ihn mit deinen Freunden in den sozialen Medien. Und wenn du mit etwas gehört werden möchtest oder mir ein Feedback geben magst, dann schreib mir an podcast@empathieschenker.de. In diesem Sinne, bis in 2 Wochen.